It's my pleasure to be before you again today, and a great responsibility. I do realize that. I pray that you are praying for me and praying for Brother Gene. I know that we pray for the Lord's people as well. Welcome again to Sunday school, that portion of our presentation here, motivated by the Lord our God here at Grace Baptist Church. When will this present evil age end? Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 reads this way: To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. I know your King James have the present evil world. This is the word ionos, comes from the Greek word ion. We get our word eon from it, and it means a long, indefinite space of time. That's the word. An age, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This present evil age, it is my position that this age began with the fall in the garden and will end with the second coming of Christ. And I'm going to let you know right away that I have no intention to give any specific or approximate dates in reference to the last day, the end, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see all three of those things being the same thing. The last day, the end, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe the Holy Scriptures reveal an underlying truth many of us may be missing in reference to the last days of the life on this present earth. 1 Timothy 4:8 speaks of the life that now is, and that which is to come. Peter, in his second letter, has some light in that area. May I read for you? 2 Peter verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what sort ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Again, the last day, the day of the Lord, the coming of Christ, the end, all the same thing. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, please remember that, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Oh, come King Jesus, how I long for that. a place in which righteousness dwells eternally. In reference to the end and what activities will be occurring, Matthew 24:14 is one of the most quoted verses. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now that preaching in all the world not only is a reference to those proclaiming the gospel through the years since the ascension of Christ, but we must be aware of the apparent final call of the gospel. This verse that I just read fits perfectly with this. I'm going to read you a more literal translation of Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I, that's the Apostle John, then I saw another angel, a messenger, flying in mid-heaven, having everlasting gospel. That's extremely interesting to me. The word "the" is not in the original text. Having everlasting gospel to preach upon the ones dwelling upon the earth, and every nation and tribe and language and people saying in a loud voice. This is everlasting gospel, folks. What is being said here should cause folks to give God glory and to worship Him. Everlasting gospel. Fear the God and give Him glory, because the hour of the judgment of Him, the judgment that God will bring, has come. Who will be that judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. And worship the one having made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. Going along with this, from the Old Testament, I want to read from Psalm 19. Seeing this angel in mid-heaven, proclaiming everlasting gospel. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. No speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or their sound or their business has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The words, the sound, the business of creation has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now that, if you would look at Revelation 1:16, seems to fit very well together with what is said in the Revelation. The sun, His countenance like the sun shining in its strength. A reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:16. Christ's countenance like the sun shining in its strength. Even though God's creation has made clear the eternal power and divinity of God, Romans chapter 1, to the degree that all humanity is without excuse, nonetheless, God gives final notice through this angel with that last proclamation of everlasting gospel as revealed in the Revelation. Let's look back now to when Christ came to this earth in his mission to save his people from their sins. And in that mission, let's not forget John the Baptist, who set the scene for Christ to fulfill the ministry of his first advent. Again, I'm going to Matthew chapter 3. Do not, please, try to follow with me. I'm going to be skipping around, as I often do, to create a narrative that you need to hear. Matthew chapter 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent. Oh, folks, please remember this. This is at the crux of the matter today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, went out to John the Baptist, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Folks, confession is a very important part of repentance. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now listen up. He says this to them, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Something very interesting I discovered from reading the scripture. Christ began his ministry with the same proclamation as John the Baptist. In Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same thing. John the Baptist, then Jesus the Christ. Mark's gospel records this. Now, after John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the multitude to whom he proclaimed Christ was pierced through inwardly in their hearts with Holy Spirit conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? They're between a rock in a hard place, convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, convinced by the Holy Spirit of God of their sin. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2. Not long after that occurred, Peter was accompanied by John the Apostle, preaching on a porch on the side of the temple. And in part said this, while proclaiming Christ. Peter again. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now that occurred in Acts chapter 3. After God saved a very famous persecutor of Christians named Saul, and created Saul anew and named him the Apostle Paul, Paul preached as follows in Athens, Greece. Acts 17:30, Paul preaching, God now commands all human beings everywhere to repent. The same Paul bore witness to King Agrippa later in the book of Acts and said this. This is a more literal translation here of Acts 26:20. Paul says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but firstly to those in Damascus and to all Jerusalem and the country of Judea and to the nations, I declared to repent and turn unto thee, God, and turn unto thee, God, doing works worthy of repentance. Good works accompany God-given repentance. Never, ever forget that. Repentance is a turning away from sin and turning toward God. That comes from a change of heart, a change of mind produced in God's elect by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. That's why when someone preaches and they look into the congregation, you may have one person who could care less about what you're saying. It's easy to tell. And the next person to them, grasping every word, that person has life. That person is interested in the things of God. They've had a change of heart and mind. And of course, I'm talking about someone who does that consistently. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 18 and 19, describes the heart and mind of God's true people. This is a description of the heart and mind of God's true people speaking to God. You turn me, they say to God. You turn me, and I shall be turned. For you are the Lord my God. Surely, after I was turned, I repented. Acts 11:18 also testifies to the gift of repentance given to the Gentiles by God. When the apostles and other brethren heard Peter speak of the Gentiles receiving the word of God, they eventually responded this way, as recorded in Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying, then God also has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Don't be confused about this saying, they became silent and then they speak. They became silent as to what they were saying before, when doubt was there concerning repentance being granted to the Gentiles. They say, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. And that's nothing short of life eternal. God-given repentance. Very shortly after that occurred, others preached to the Gentiles with this result, as recorded in Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. As Christ preached, recorded by Mark, that we spoke about earlier, repent and believe in the gospel. So this great number believed and turned. They repented. They turned to the Lord. And what does that show? They believed and turned. Repentance and faith. Faith and repentance. Two sides of one coin. You cannot have one without the other. There will not be true God-given faith without true God-given repentance. As faith without works is dead, James tells us that very clearly, so God requires works in accordance with repentance, as we've read earlier today. Christian, your faith and repentance will be evidenced by your conduct, by your lifestyle. As we read in 2 Peter, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, what sort ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Friends, there is a day of God coming. Oh my goodness, it may be very close now. I don't know. The day of God will end this present evil age. And just what underlying truth, remember how I began, might we miss in reference to the end of that age, the end of time as we know it? Again, I would like to read for you a more literal rendition of 2 Peter 3:9. Please, please listen closely. Lord does not delay the promise as some consider slowness. The word "the" is not in that text, believe it or not. The Lord. It just says Lord, as when we speak of Lord Jesus Christ, we could do that. It's as if it's his name, Lord. Lord. Lord does not delay the promise as some consider slowness. Now, the promise spoken of here is the promise of Christ coming again, something Peter had addressed earlier in this very same chapter, when he mentioned those who scoffed at Christ's return. Where is the promise of his coming? Lord does not delay the promise as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing. And may I point out, that is a verb. Not willing any to perish. That is a verb. About an example I was thinking of, it's not a very good one, but I'm going to give it to you. When you had the Woodstock Festival, 1969, I think it was, the people all got together and willed that there would be no rain. And what was so interesting about that is I think they had at least 2 days of nothing but rain. When the people got together and willed it not to rain. Well, this is a verb, same thing. The Lord, not willing any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, I know I've explained this a number of times. Brother Gene has as well. Lord is patient toward you. Now, I think your King James may have toward us. It is actually the word you. But you know, you, us, same thing. Lord is patient toward you. The you are the ones to whom the letter is written. The ones having obtained like precious faith. The very first verse of the letter. The ones having obtained like precious faith. This is speaking of God's elect. Now the grammar. You know, we can argue with positions all day long. You cannot argue with the grammar. Very simple. Very quickly I'm going to tell you. The word you is a pronoun. The words any and all are pronominal adjectives. Any and all modify the word you. Therefore, God does not will any of you to perish, but all of you to come to repentance. And that's exactly what will occur for all of God's elect. A very special note. Oh my goodness, please pay attention. A very special note here is the very next thing the Holy Spirit led Peter to write. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I believe the day of the Lord and Christ's second coming are the same thing and are the promise we see here. In that verse, right before what is just said, when God, here's the thing we may be missing, when God calls his very last elect sinner, that's going to happen. When he calls that one into the fold, all will have come to repentance. When that ain't, now listen, this is a scenario, think about it. When that angel appears in mid-heaven with everlasting gospel, will he not come as a thief in the night? And might that final elect be granted repentance unto life at that time? When all God's elect have been called unto repentance, does it not seem that this present evil age will end? We know not when the last one will be granted repentance unto life eternal, but we do know not any will perish, but all will come to repentance. And we do know that God now commands all humans everywhere to repent. The Bible is clear. It says, repent or perish. Turn away from your sin, turn unto God, and believe the gospel. God also speaks to us through his word that we must have works that are in accordance with God-given repentance. I close with this, folks. This Christian life is an at all times repentance. Did you get that? This Christian life is and at all times, repentance. Constantly turning away from sin and turning unto Christ. Now here is the final question as I close. Where are you? Where am I in reference to repentance today. Think about that. Amen.